The 630 Chad Afternoon News with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross. Weekdays at 2 on 630 Chad.
Engaging conversation with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross. Breaking news with Eileen Bell and sports with Morley Scott. This is the Afternoon News on 630 Chad, Edmonton's breaking news and conversation station.
Morning that he passed away at the age of 53 overnight, surrounded by his family. Lots of different things to cover today, but we're going to be playing some hip tunes throughout the day as a tip of the hat to the hip. Some of your texts coming in, and you can share them with us, your thoughts, your memories at 6:30, 6:30. Chris Gallant says, the heartbreaking news and passing of Gord Downie made me reminisce of so many great memories. Truly the soundtrack of my life over the past 25 plus years. Even though I never had the pleasure of meeting him, today I feel such sadness. It's like losing a close family member. R.I.P. Gord, courage and grace too. And then this one, Glenn in St. Albert says, I worked in Japan from 1993 to 96. A group of us Canadians hung out listening to the hip. One day our Japanese friend came in and said, is this the terribly cool? The terribly cool instead of the tragically hip. I love that band. Yeah, we love them too. That's from Glenn in St. Albert. And I always think, you know what, I think sometimes when a movie star passes, or maybe someone famous, or maybe your favorite singer, whomever it is, and we feel strange emotions, or we wonder why we're feeling this way, when they're like, well, you know, as they said, we've never met them before, but that music, you've met them through their music, so don't be afraid to, or be embarrassed to... No, share those emotions and show those emotions.
Yeah, it's funny you say we don't understand, because I understand. Various tunes, different artists, movie scenes, famous actors. They are tied to you in your memories of the events that took place at the time you first saw that movie or heard that tune or whatever. I know a lot of people have mentioned on text, and you just read one, where... you know, it's tied to a specific, not just a specific occasion, but a period of their life where that was a band that they really liked and they listened to a lot. Mm-hmm. And so it brings back memories not only of those times, but of friends you've lost or friends you're no longer with or when you were younger or, yeah, no, I totally get it. It brings back memories.
I think it's disappointing at time when people... And I've seen it, mock those who are feeling sad or who are sharing emotion over the loss of someone famous, and maybe someone that they're like, who gives a crap? They're no better than we are there. But as you just said, soundtracks to our lives mm-hmm. that take us back somewhere. You know, I remember my first trip to Regina, of all places, driving through on a sunset. We were going to a friend's wedding, and the wheat fields were just blowing, and I'd never seen that golden sun and that golden wheat fields, and I had never seen something so beautiful in my life. You know, the sky that went on for days, listening to Garth Brooks, and there is... you know, certain songs that take me back exactly to that moment, driving in a blue Astro van from Thunder Bay to Regina for a buddy's wedding.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I had the opportunity. It wasn't a great experience opening mm-hmm. for the hip. I don't know that they always use comedians, but opened for them out in Ontario. But I had seen them previously and not met them at the University of Lethbridge when they were playing University mm-hmm. of Lethbridge gigs. And that was just directly following my first divorce. And I just remember getting in the car with a friend, driving down to Lethbridge because he had graduated from there. And I was a few years older than everybody there. Yeah. But it was, it's just part of a memory where you're like, wow. It's funny how your experiences sort of wind in and out with others. So there I am in Lethbridge watching this band I've never heard of, but having a great time mm-hmm. with my friend. Then years later, I would open for mm-hmm. them. Right. And had forgotten that I'd seen them. And then years later again, you find out that your wife, for example, was a huge Tragically Hip fan and was devastated by the news. And you just sort of, you know, it's funny. You just throw it out there. Oh, I opened for them. You opened for them. But it really didn't mean much to me at the time at all, honestly. No. I was just opening for a band, which, like I say, I'll never do again. Yeah. Because everybody shows up for the band. Nobody shows up for the comedian.
Yeah, you know, you did that, you've bumped into them. Maybe there was a story again this morning. Someone texted in. They were traveling back from somewhere a couple of years ago, and their little boy, their little five-year-old kid, sat and talked with a man in a hat in the airport for a good hour, like just talking away about everything and nothing. And that guy was Gord Downie.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so you have those memories. All I'm saying is that it's okay to feel crappy or emotional.
Oh,
and don't,
sure.
And don't let other people make you feel that you shouldn't feel that way.
No, you own your own emotions.
Yeah,
they are what they are.
Neil Diamond dies, you guys, and I'm... I won't be here for a week, just so you know, right?
Totally understand. This text, interesting, reminiscent of when John Candy died. Never met the man, but I felt... But it felt like your cool uncle had just died. What a sad day, too. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It used to see John Candy at Eskimo games when the Argonauts played.
Yeah.
And he'd be wearing a great big Toronto Argonaut jersey and just walking around the sidelines. And you didn't meet him, but you're like, that's the coolest thing ever. Like, there's John Candy, you know? And back then, actually, I remember being a Stampeder fan back there then because I was living in Calgary. And he would show up at the games and sometimes toss jerseys into the audience if you were prepared to wear them. Because you're in Calgary, and it's an Argonaut jersey. You know, we always say you never know what's going to take off on our show in terms of engagement with the listeners. We've got so many texts on Christmas lights that here's a couple of them for you. I have a tin roof with no eave troughs. We actually put the lights up on Thanksgiving Monday because there's no snow on the roof. I turn into Bambi, and I'm afraid I'm sliding off the roof. But
one of our neighbors has one of those tin roofs.
Yeah.
I would love one. Is that what they're called? Metal?
Wouldn't they be really noisy in the rain?
I don't know how that works. I just like the look of it. I really like the look of it, and I think they probably last a lot longer than shingles. And after having to get some shingles replaced last year, I was like, maybe that's the way to go. I just really, really like the look of it. I don't know how it works.
I can't picture a tin roof, honestly.
It's a cool looking metal roof. Yeah, I'll Google a picture for you.
Steve from Edmonton, the day after Thanksgiving, I decorate for Halloween. The day after Halloween, I put on my poppy. The day after Remembrance Day, I start putting up my Xmas lights. Works perfect for me. And this one, you know, it is easier and safer to work with cables and plastic clips when they're pliable because they aren't cold and when you can still feel your fingers. That is what finally got me to get a company to do it because I was so tired of taking that ladder out and trying to find a safe place to stick it in the snowbank, right?
Never put them up, buddy.
I know.
It's just like a broken leg waiting to happen.
Oh, and every year you figure it out, but every year it starts as a mystery. Like, you get up that ladder, and you're like, how did I clip these lights on last year? And oftentimes you see last year's clips half broken still up there.
That's what just ripped it off.
Right. And it was, exactly. That is how you take them down. Eaves troughs are easy. But clips these days, I don't know when the last time you looked at a bag of clips, but they have every possible configuration for any, you know, siding, no siding, a trough, hang them. But you sit there, you're up a ladder in minus whatever, wind blowing, and you've got to take your glove off to work the clips, right? I can't tell you how much time I've spent just staring at a clip.
Shouldn't you, string them all out, kind of put the clips on little...
You just said a second ago you've never done it, right?
Yeah, I've never done it.
So just stop. Just stop right now, because you don't know, man. You weren't there.
I was not. I'm just having an idea, that's all.
I know. It doesn't work that way at all. Wouldn't it be glorious if it did?
It's like putting lights on the Christmas tree, and you said, oh, I'm just going to unravel it as I go from, you know, when I wrapped it up last year. But no, in the summer sometime, the light fairies came in and put magic knots everywhere.
Right.
And yeah, but I was like, that's why you should like extend them out all first.
It's the, well, that's...
That's why we bought a pre-lit Christmas tree.
Here's what I recommend.
Not doing that again.
I'm the farthest thing from an expert on putting up lights outside your house. But you have to remember a couple of things. Number one, plug them in before you try putting them up, because there's nothing worse than getting a whole string clipped beautifully around your house only to discover that it's not working. But the other thing is to remember that they're 12 inches apart, right? The lights. And so, but your house isn't an even footage. So you have to figure out where you want to start so as not to end with the end of a string right in the middle of, you know, the side of your house where you're like, well, if I had another string, right? And I put so much effort into this, or used to, in years past. Now, I get my kids to do it. But I would inspect other people's houses for the rest of the winter, for the rest of the Christmas season, and criticize openly in my car to my kids at what I believe to be absolute faux pas when it comes to Christmas lighting. If you get to the end of your eaves trough and you've got 4 feet of lights left, you don't just leave them hanging there. You unscrew those bulbs so they don't light up at night.
Then you're still leaving the cord there. You need to tuck it into the eaves trough.
You can tuck the cord in, hide it, whatever. But just, or the people who, you said you decorate your tree. And listen, I think it's all great that you decorate and you can own your own Christmas lights, but I have a right to my opinion. People who decorate their tree outside, which I think is beautiful, beautiful, but who just sort of throw them at the tree, like just kind of like, and you can see those string. And
No, you need to plan it.
No, it's got to go around. You got to get a pole to do the top. You got to really put an effort into this. It's like you wouldn't do that with your makeup, would you? You wouldn't just smear lipstick across your forehead.
Well, some days it feels like it. Some days it feels like it. After this conversation, we all need therapy, says Brad. A lot of folks loving the tin roof. I love the sound of rain on a tin roof. Isn't that a song? If there's no air gap between the tin and the substrate, there is no noise. Oh, very good. And apparently tin roofs can last a very long time, depending on how you maintain them. And it depends on the level of insulation. Doug says, have had a metal roof for the past 15 years. Noise is no problem. Insurance a bit more expensive due to the cost of replacing it. Mm. Okay. I work with a guy that requires a computer to control the Christmas lights, and that's what I wanted to go to, was that the fact, you know, here we are worried about putting a strand of lights up around, you know, a straight area in front of the house. These guys and gals that put a bazillion lights and have music going to it all, and they're like,
I know.
How do you have the time?
I
know people love, and it's their love. That's their thing. Some people love Halloween, some people, whatever. I just, oh my gosh, I can't even decorate my Christmas tree without the thing falling over.
Really?
Carol is front heavy.
Carol's responsible for inside. I'm responsible for outside. I subcontract it, but I'm still, the general contractor on the deal. But your first string in your first home, whether it's across the balcony railing or whether it's your townhouse, whatever home you first put, that's a gateway drug right there, because you put up that first string and then next year, you're like, you know what would be great? Is if I had a couple of spotlights that actually went with it. And then it's like, no. You know what we need is an inflatable Christmas tree. And then before you know it, it's like, we need a choir. If there's some way we can get a choir to come stand on my lawn. We had floodlights one year that went up the side of the house. You could see our house from the air.
Have a mutual friend who, there's a house on the corner of their place across the street that has music playing till, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night during the winter, Christmas time. And if that was my neighbor, I would probably lose it.
Why? Where's your Christmas spirit? What kind of Christmas tunes, right?
Like listening to tinny jingle bells on repeat?
I'm okay with that.
No, you're not.
My Christmas tree plays something, too. But I turn off the audio part of it because that's annoying to me.
Are blow-up Christmas things, is that festive?
I feel like you're questioning my decorations
right
now.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking.
It's something I've never had until just a couple of years ago. And it's something that I always told Carol, we should get something like that just for the side of the house, because then you don't have to decorate anything over there because this thing is 8 feet tall, right? And she would never agree to it. And then one day we were at Canadian Tire and it was after Christmas, and rather than put them back in the storeroom, I guess they were half off or whatever. And I'm like, boom, done.
You're done.
And that appealed to Carol's sense of saving money. She's very frugal. And so we got it. And then the next year we put it up. And I'll tell you what, that I don't know if my neighbors like it, but I find it very entertaining because it's on the same timer that the lights are on, right? So at some point, and I think it's about 4 or 5 in the evening or late afternoon, all the lights come on, and then that Christmas tree slowly rises up. It would scare small children if they were walking. It just slowly inflates, and for quite a time, it's vertical as opposed to, or it's horizontal as opposed to vertical. It kind of grows across your lawn and then stands
That's
up.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Ian and Stoney
and then
says,
plays music.
Yeah. Ian and Stoney says, I just bought my Christmas light projector. Got tired of falling off the ladder and freezing my fingers off.
Those things are great.
I think that's what Steinke says he has, eh? He says some little projector that goes all over the front
of
the house.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, in his, I know people say that's, some people would say that was lazy. But in Gord's case, I mean, his house is the size of, you know, an apartment block. So naturally, it's harder for him to decorate than it is for us regular folks. But I do like those things.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's how my lights go. It's all kind of all over the place. Huge.
That movie spoke to me. Because I do think about, I've asked Carol about, what about putting lights in the backyard, right? And she's like, well, nobody would see them. I go, but we'd see them. Like, you'd look out the back window, the kitchen window, and you'd see them. So I'm thinking along my fence and around the garage or whatever. And again, it's no effort for me. I just have to buy the lights. The kids will put them up. But Carol won't agree to it.
You seem very confident that the kids will do all the work.
They will.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell them to.
Will you have to pay them?
No. What I'll have to do is threaten
them.
You
want to bet?
No, I won't pay them.
Come on.
There's no reason to pay them. I have enough things I could take away from them.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, it's 3:21 on the 6:30 Chet Afternoon News. Brandon in Red Deer says, hey, since we're talking about Christmas 2 weeks before Halloween, maybe the next segment we can talk about is where we hide our Easter eggs.
Sure.
Just kidding. Love you guys.
Fun when you want it. This is the 6:30 Chad Afternoon News with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross on 6:30 Chad.
Into the pocket of a lighthouse on some rocky socket.
Watching some video right now of the Tragically Hip's last concert run. And I'm wondering where those outfits that Gord was wearing during the mall have ended up, kind of that sparkly purple and silver lamé leather. I mean, there's very few people in this world could get away with wearing that, and he did, along with a Jaws t-shirt in some cases, and just rocked it. More of your text coming in. I wonder which hip song will forever be attached to my mind to the day that I heard Gord Downie passed away. Yeah. And this one, the soundtrack to my life is Right. Growing up in Northern Ontario cottage, sitting on the dock listening to the Hips. High school shop teacher always playing the Hip in class. Had a girlfriend for a time where we would just hang out and talk and listen to Hip in the background. Meeting Gord when I was a first responder in Lake Louise when he got hit in the face by a hockey puck. I administered first aid going to the U.S. to a NASCAR race, meeting some Americans. Never heard of the band before. They loved it. Had it cranked up until security came and busted us. To top it all off, the night I met my wife at karaoke, I sang Poets that night. Soundtrack to my life for sure, and it brings back so many memories.
I see back on the texting page with regard to Christmas lights. My husband put lights on the backyard fence. It's wonderful to see them. I'd have made a good husband for that woman.
Lights, we need to take a break now.
Okay, and when we come back, because some people are saying, are you talking about Christmas? Halloween isn't even here yet. I've got some interesting statistics on what you should be wearing for Halloween.
Or not wearing. It's 3:27, the 3:30 news coming up. Arthur, hold the line. We'll get to your phone call after this.
You're listening to the 6:30 Chad Afternoon News with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross on 6:30 Chad, Edmonton's breaking news and conversation station.
Or sit silently and listen to our thoughts, illusions of someday, cast in a golden light.
I hit my century.
That's such a great tune.
The Tragically Hip, Gord Downie, passing away overnight at the age of 53, surrounded by his family. The band put up a statement today. letting everyone know. And we knew that he was not well, that he had terminal brain cancer. And I think that some people, when we heard, and I certainly did when I heard just recently, oh my gosh, he's putting out a solo album. Things must be okay for him.
I didn't think things were okay for him, honestly.
Yeah, and then I thought,
it's a pretty aggressive cancer.
It is a very aggressive form of cancer. And one of our listeners actually texted and said, you know what, I hope that this brings more attention to, it's what, glioblastoma. I don't know if I said that right. I'm just trying to run off the top of my head.
It's a brain cancer.
Yeah, it's very, you know, and it's one of the more common ones.
Mm-hmm.
But her father had passed away from it 1 year and a half from,
diagnosis
to death.
Yeah, yeah.
So lots of you texting in on your memories, your thoughts, you know, talking about the Tragically Hip being the soundtrack of your life. Maybe you were at a concert. Maybe you were at 20 concerts. Maybe you met him, want to hear your stories. And Arthur called in this afternoon. Hey, Arthur.
Hello.
Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
First time caller.
Well, thank you.
And you guys are great.
Thank you.
Gord Downie. Mm-hmm. I had a great chance to meet him twice at the Folk Fest when he was here years ago.
Really?
Without the hip. And I got to drive him from the host hotel to site. And he sat beside me, and for like 15 minutes, we just yapped. And he seemed like he was really caring about my life. So that was a nice experience. The weird thing was he had this entourage of really young girls with him. And I'd heard that he was weird. So, you know, you think a little bit differently about him. But then I found out afterwards that this was his daughters, his nieces, and friends of his daughters that were doing an essay the next September. You know, what I did for summer, traveled with my dad while he went to folk fests and such. So it's a great memory when I heard it this morning, like just to remember chatting with him.
Yeah.
Like how many people get that chance?
Exactly. He had a reputation of being weird, but not dark weird, like just sort of
quirky.
Quirky is a better probably
quirky
word. But I know exactly what you mean. Like I said, you know, I had the chance to open for him and we hung out in the green room. I didn't know which one he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just talking in general. There's a whole bunch of people in a green room, as you can imagine, right? And people were just handing beer out and talking and whatever. And I knew it was Tragically Hip, but I couldn't have identified him for you. I wasn't a big fan, didn't know which one he was. So everybody sort of just seemed the same to me. They were all in jeans and T-shirts and drinking beer.
Hey, Arthur, were you a fan of the Hip beforehand?
No.
You became a fan?
Only Ahead by a Century is the only song that I really knew.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, but talking to him sort of made me, you know, listen more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing it. And, you know, it's interesting because you can bump into people in the most random of spots, or maybe you're driving for the folk festival and you never know who's going to get into your car. And I think we're always happily surprised when we meet someone who is quote unquote famous and we realize that except for the fact that they're really famous, they're just like us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was down to earth.
But
you guys are fun and informative.
Well, thank you.
I don't usually get that on radio.
I knock on wood, somebody. We got to keep that up.
I hope Sid's listening.
Yeah.
Our boss, Arthur. Thank you for calling us, Arthur, and thanks for sharing today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, take it. First time caller.
There you go.
You can call us anytime at 496-0063. 630-630 is the text line. You can keep your memories coming. We're going to play more Hip songs throughout the afternoon. Of course, going to touch on some other things. And I know with we were talking about Christmas for some reason, but actually Halloween is just around the corner.
Yeah, I want to bring it back to Halloween.
We can do that. We can set it up here.
All right, so a couple of things about Halloween costumes. There was a study done. If you're wearing a Halloween costume specifically to attract a date, if you're single, going to a party, and you're looking to attract a date, there's a study I want to tell you about. And also, though, as is always in the conversation this time of year, when we start talking about costumes, there's what costumes are you putting your kids in to go to school? And one school board out in Ontario has sent out a list of what's acceptable and unacceptable, a guideline entitled, Is My Costume Appropriate? I want to get your reaction to
it's
that,
It's a good
too.
Question. It's a really good question. We'll be back right after this.
Call 780-496-0063 or text 630-630 and join the conversation. The Afternoon News on 630 Chat, Edmonton's breaking news and conversation station.
I worked it in. I worked it
as we head up to the 4 o'clock news. Keep playing a little hip for us throughout the afternoon. Andrew has some Halloween advice in his hands.
In my hot little hands. So saw this study a couple of weeks ago. It was done by a dating site. And I know back when I was single and you'd get invited to these Halloween parties and you put the costume together, at least I did at the last second. Well, it turns out the first question asked by the site of singles was, are you dressing up for Halloween? And the answer was 51% are. So more than half of single, and this was an American study, but we'll assume the results compare here in Canada. And by the way, as an aside, 16% are also planning to put their pet in a costume. That's a whole other topic. 40% of people who are dressing up have already started putting their costume together. So that this was last week. People started thinking about what they're doing for Halloween. And by this week, most have their costume together already, which does not include me. The three most popular themes this year, based on early sales, are funny costumes at number one, unique costumes, and then at third, sexy costumes. So,
okay, that's not really a surprise.
I thought sexy would be first, honestly, because Halloween sort of turned into this sexy thing.
But yeah, I think it's starting to move maybe a little bit away from that.
All right, well, that's probably...
I'm not 100%. Who knows? I haven't been to a Halloween party in a bazillion years.
No. You're busy putting up your Christmas decorations.
Right.
But if you're single and looking to meet someone, what they asked the respondents was, who would you be most attracted to in what sort of costume if you were single? So this is both men and women asked. And overwhelmingly, people responded that a unique costume would draw their attention, want them to get to know the other individual more carefully. 27% of people said a one-of-a-kind costume would make the absolute best impression, with sexy costumes barely making the list.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it's leaving a certain impression. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's your first impression.
I suppose. But I'll say no more
on that.
But
what is a unique Halloween costume?
I don't know.
What's a one-of-a-kind Halloween costume?
You know, you see them. I go to costume parties.
Do you?
Not dressed up. I mean, I get hired. It's the worst night of the year for a comedian is Halloween because you're getting heckled by Dracula or whatever, right? But you do see some really unique, and oftentimes they're group costumes where everybody's sort of, no, this conversation's not going to ABBA. If that's where your mind went right now.
It totally went to ABBA.
No, forget that I'm not even going to finish a sentence. Let's go to this instead because... This is the kind
it's
of thing.
It's too late this year because we only have two weeks.
What
and I don't
a
think
shame,
there's enough, you know, sparkly sequin
to,
spandex
yeah.
for the six of us
well,
to
next
get it.
Year.
But maybe next year. We've
next
only been
year.
Talking about it for 4 years.
For sure. We can meet in the summer, take down your Christmas decorations, and talk about Halloween. So there's an Ontario school board.
Although Franchek's lost a lot of weight, he'd look really good in one of those outfits.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of us that...
Let's not kid yourself. I can pull it off, too. I'm sort of like Fat Elvis. I know he wasn't. But anyway, he pulled it off. Why wouldn't I?
Okay.
So listen, this is the kind of thing that sort of gets...
I wish I lived in your brain some days.
Some people's backs. Do you not want to see me in spandex? Would that not be entertaining to you?
Yeah.
It's your idea.
I know
Why
it's
am
my
I
idea.
Selling you on it? Jeez.
I've been trying to sell y'all on it for 4 years.
I've agreed to
the
it.
Girl, no,
I said
no.
it. I said I would do it, but you have to arrange it. I'm not lifting a finger to buy spandex. Carol used to have a little spandexy cat costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I always said to her, you know, you should wear that on Halloween. Okay, so there's an Ontario school board. They sent out a checklist to parents. Now, it's not unusual for schools to say to parents, listen, your children should not bring weapons or replica weapons. That sort of thing totally makes sense, and I don't have a problem with it. But this checklist was called the Guidelines for Is My Costume Appropriate? Mm-hmm. And here's how it read. Does your child's costume represent a stereotype, such as a terrorist or urban ghetto dweller? Does it involve changing the color of their skin? Does it allude to a culture that is not the child's own, such as wearing a kimono, a turban, or a feather headdress? Does it mock transgender people? Is it based on tragic or violent historical moments, such as slavery or a cowboy and Indian role play? If it does, we would ask that you reconsider sending your child to school in that costume. It's, as I say, it's not unusual for schools to say, let's dress appropriately. It is unusual to have a checklist of these things are not acceptable, a kimono, a turban, a feather headdress. And it's not the first time that the conversation's come up. There's some really well-known incidences of people losing their jobs over this or getting in a lot of trouble. Do you remember back in 2012, there was a photo of a Toronto Maple Leaf. I'm trying to remember who it was. Tyler Bozak, I think it was. He wore a blackface as part of a Halloween costume. It caused a huge uproar. Yeah. He said that he was doing a tribute to Michael Jackson. There was a Yale University lecturer who resigned 2 years after being criticized for saying students should be left to decide how to dress for Halloween. And she was responding to an email sent by Yale administration advising students that it would be insensitive to wear Halloween costumes that were offensive to any particular group. There's other examples, but people have lost their jobs over. People have battled this.
Was it Juliana Huff from Dancing with the Stars?
Right.
She had blackface on and she dressed up as someone from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, that's right. Winnipeg School Board says they don't send a letter out to parents on culturally appropriate costumes, but they do expect students and teachers to be diligent, and they would agree to having someone sent home if they felt it was culturally offensive. So my question is this. I mean, first of all, on the surface, what do you think about that? But secondly, isn't Halloween all about just using your imagination and dressing up? And why is it that if you dress up as a particular group, that it's necessarily automatically seen as mocking that group?
Because you're dressing up and probably trying to get laughs out of it. You are making a joke out of it.
Isn't it sort of revisionist, though? Natives, for example, wore headdresses. And remember there was a cheer team or something in Saskatchewan that dressed up and did a dance, and they were wearing headdresses, and they got criticized wildly for it, right?
And we've been seeing them show up at every festival, and every, you know, girl out there is wearing headdresses at all sorts of music festivals. Fact is that, you know, a Native headdress, an Indigenous headdress, is a sacred thing to the Indigenous people. So let's treat it that way.
See, I just don't agree.
Well... you're a privileged white man.
Sure, okay. It's just that Halloween is just that. It's just your imagination dressing up. And I don't believe that there's an argument. I was thinking of an argument, but I could easily defeat my own argument. But I just feel, so let's take a costume, an innocuous costume like a dead person, a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Would that not be offensive to somebody who just lost somebody? Could we argue that, you shouldn't be dressing up as dead people because my grandfather died last year or my dad died, you know?
I think there's a difference between dressing up as a ghost and dressing up in blackface. I think there's a difference between dressing up as a ghost and, dressing and wearing a Native headdress, which you're probably minimizing. It's a sacred thing. I think there's a difference between dressing up as a ghost and... making a mockery out of a transgender person. And I know for a long time, guys have been dressing up as girls on Halloween.
So what about
that?
So can a guy not dress up as a girl then? Because it might be offensive to transgender?
I'm not saying yes. That's not my decision to make.
Whose is it?
It's up to that person to make it. But about kids. We're talking about kids here as well.
Yeah.
I'm not adults.
For sure.
And I know a lot of people, I don't even want to look at the text line right now. Because they say, PC, it's gone too far, it's gone too far, it's gone too far. But I do think in this day and age, you do have to think about the world that we're living in.
Well, I guess maybe I just want to return to a simpler time. I mean, maybe that's just naive.
But for a lot of people would say that's not a simpler time. That if you're dressing up as a gay man and going out and mocking a gay man, that's not a better time for them. We've come a lot farther than that. Do you think that your daughter would appreciate anyone dressing up in blackface, dating a black man? I bet you she wouldn't be impressed with that at all. I can guarantee
I don't know the
be.
Answer to that, honestly. I don't know the answer to that. And I don't want to put words in my daughter's mouth. I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, she dates a black guy. I just... So I just, maybe, you know, I'm just too old and too white and too middle age, too middle class.
But you're not, Andrew, though, because you expand your mind all the
time. Sure, of course I do. But a costume that makes a statement is one thing, but an 8-year-old going to their elementary school, you know, dressed as a cowboy. So is it you can dress as a cowboy,
but you can't dress up an Indian.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to basically kind of be what you are when you are.
I know.
I don't think that's advancing things. I don't think that's.
I think it's opening a discussion on why maybe it's appropriate or not appropriate, which I do believe is advancing things, as uncomfortable that might be, and if we disagree on it, we can talk about it. And I think that's important.
Yeah,
I think that's really important.
Well, no, I'm trying to. You know, I do understand where you're coming from. I feel like there's a loss of innocence there, and you know, and I feel like. We're just taking away fun. We're taking the fun away from everything for fear of offending someone.
I think there's a lot of other costumes out there that could be just as fun or more fun. But again, they're children. I'm looking at adult costumes more than
that. For sure, for sure.
I think with children, I mean, you know, your kid dressed up as a toucan, right?
Love that costume.
And love that costume.
Yeah, absolutely. Didn't love being called a parrot.
No,
a parrot. Yeah, but it was a toucan for sure. Yeah. But my kids also went out as cowboys and Indians, I'm pretty sure, years ago.
Yeah, but 20 years ago was different than it is now. And I'm not the one to say, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's a long list of what's right and what's wrong now.
I just hope to be dead before the list gets any much bigger. Because I can't. Mm. I can't keep doing what everybody wants me to do for fear. Because I don't, to be honest with you, I don't have a vindictive bone in my body. There's no group I don't like. There's no, you know, I'm pretty open-minded. I think I'm really open-minded. But it's this kind of thing where you just feel pushed you go, what, really? Now my kids have to be really careful what they dress up as.
Yeah, I just think that if it gets to the point where you're not paying tribute, you're kind of mocking them. You're dressing it up
as a costume. Well, Halloween is sort of basically every costume kind of...
So then we need to find something that's not targeting any sorts of...
Yeah.
And it's tough. Hey, I get it. I completely get it.
Yeah.
I completely get it. It's a tough one.
I mean, I dressed up as a cheerleader. My girlfriend dressed up as a football player. But now I can't do that?
Apparently can't, yeah.
Right. Okay. I look, and I have great legs. That's the thing. Like, I actually pulled it off.
The 6:30 Chad Afternoon News with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross. Weekdays at 2 on 6:30 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.